something here, in your Bible, it likely says at the beginning of this book, it's the first epistle of John, or something along that line, this general epistle. And there was a brother that years ago said something that stuck in my mind and about how it is that in the Scripture and in the context of the design of the Lord, He has many ways that He has designed things, and namely, if we take a look at the institutions, the Lord has ordered a way that it's to be in the institutions, right? In marriage, in the home, in government, and in the church. And so, although these epistles are called, this epistle is called a general epistle, and we might say, well, that's to folks. But as this brother had made mention years ago, and like I said, it stuck with me, the Scripture really knows nothing of those in this New Testament Baptist church time since the day of the Lord's ministry. The Lord knows nothing of folks not saved, not being in His church. I know I got a couple negatives there, but the pattern and plan is that those that are saved are to be baptized by one of the Lord's New Testament Baptist churches and join and serve the Lord therein. That's the design. That's the pattern. That's the plan. That's what the Lord expects. That's what He came and the reason He came and built. And then He called. And so in that context, we take a look and consider the Apostle John. John, would you not call Brother John a churchman? Indeed you would, right. He is a churchman. He believes that. And so as he would write, he would not write any other way than from the Lord's people being in His church, right? Right, that would be the context. And so I just want to plant that there. And as we take a look at this chapter 2, we want to deal with a thing that is in the world today, a thing that we, as the Lord's people and His churches, are facing. And we want to see what the Lord has told us, how we need to be in it. Here in this chapter 2, the apostle starts off and says in verse number 1, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And he speaks of the advocate, the propitiation that Jesus Christ is for our sins. That's been preached on, and you understand that. You know that it took Jesus to pay. It took Jesus to atone. Without Him, there would be no other way. And then he speaks here in verse 3 about keeping His commandments, and that if we know Him, we will keep His commandments. That's the evidence that we do know Him, is that we seek and desire to obey Him. Why? And that motivation's been preached on. Because we love Him. Because He first loved us. And so, he speaks in verse 5 of keeping His Word. And then abiding in Him and walking as He walked in verse number 6. And he says, I don't write anything new to you in verse 7. And there's no new commandment. But again in verse 8 he says, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even to now. We need to love the children of God. We've been redeemed along with them. The Lord said in the day of His ministry, folks know that you're mine. The world will know that you're mine because you have love for another. Well, sometimes we get asked, well, why would you go do that for so-and-so? Well, it's because they're not your kin. You have no connection. Why would you extend yourself that far? Or maybe you go to seek to help someone in the church with a provision, ability, a means that the Lord has given you, and they say, well, no, I want to pay you. I want to do this, or I feel bad about you coming and help. Well, you're my brother. You're my sister. I want to help you. And they have not experienced that love of giving. And, of course, the love that the Lord speaks with legs on it, isn't it? Talk is cheap. Doing show the love, the true love that we have. And so he speaks of this love that we have one for another. And then we see in verse number 12 that he's writing to the fathers. He's writing to men. A call to mature into the Lord. To mature in the Lord, to grow in the Lord. I believe that's what we see there. Understand daddies. Understand aged men, those that have been saved and for some time have had a walk with Christ, understand, you need to stand. You have these things that you believe, and you need to pass them on to those younger. And you young men that have been here, you've learned from the time that you were a child, and you've learned from the Lord, from the Word, from these that have been an example, understand, you too. And so he has this call here, and the reason that he writes to challenge to realize that they've got to the point that they are with the Word of God, and that they need to keep on moving on to mature, grow up in the Lord. Then he goes on here in verse 15, and we pick it up here. He says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." We can't straddle the fence. We can't serve God and serve mammon. We have to use the world and that the Lord provides for us, and He does provide for us, and we truly need to be a thankful people because of His provision. And He bids us in that model prayer. He says, ask. Ask those things. Ask those things that you have need, but He wants you to ask. Remember, be mindful, as we see in other scriptures, to thank the Lord. Hey, we're children. Think of it, we're children. We're children, and we should grow up. Verse 16, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not, those things are not of the Father, but is of the world." Don't go that way. "The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God, he abideth forever." Why? Because we have life in the Lord. We walk after our Father. We follow our Savior. We desire to obey, live, and be a witness unto Him of what He's done for us, how He's with us, how He's saved us, how He's put us in the church, how He's caused us to serve Him and in the church fulfill that great commission that He's given. That's our calling. That's our calling as saints placed in the Lord's New Testament church, New Testament Baptist church. Abiding forever. And we have the promise of everlasting life in Him. Verse 18, "Little children, it's the last time. And ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many. We know that it is the last time. They went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us." We hate that, don't we? Yeah, the right attitude of the child of God that sees this falling away, that sees this rebellion against the Word of God, it grieves us. That should be our attitude, is that it grieves us. And we desire that they yield, that they repent, and that they would come back. But this thing, the Lord tells us here in the Scripture through the Apostle John, that this is going to happen. And from this is the point that we want to just take a look at here this morning, is to understand the calling that God has given us, that God has called us with in His church. You know, if we listen to the world, as the Scripture said a little bit earlier there, if we listen to the world, we'll begin to think like the world and think and esteem that the Lord's salvation, His calling of us in salvation, His calling of serve Him in the church is of little significance. That it's small. That it's base. That it's not of much renown. But I tell you what, if you take this book, you take this New Testament, and you read this, oh, so much. Everything is all about the calling of the Lord of us in salvation and His calling that He's bestowed upon us in His church. Amen. Who else has the commission? Who else has the privilege, responsibility, listen, and ability to be able to fulfill it? It's nowhere else. It's nowhere else. And the reason is because there's an empowerment there that we've been promised. It's an empowerment that, again, the world, those things that make us Baptist, those distinctives that make us Baptist, you review those in your mind and you consider them against the Scripture and you know that they're so. When you go and you speak to the world about those, they think, little or nothing of them. That's not, should not be a surprise to us. It should not be a surprise because the Lord said, they've rejected me. There'll be those that'll reject you. Nevertheless, we've been touched by Him. We've been convinced of the Lord by it. We've been touched by Him, saved by Him, called by Him. And those are the things that we need to pursue. We need to pursue it. Pursue it, pursue it. Till the Lord comes back or till the day that they lay us in that ground and bury us and He calls us on to be with the Lord. Till whatever day that'll be our last day, we as the Lord's children in His church need to serve Him and pursue that which He's called us to. It's the way that it is. There'll be those that'll go away. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, and take a look over here. He, in Philippians chapter 3, I believe that John touched so much by the love of God for him that God would come down and visit him so. An old roughneck, loudmouth fisherman up on the Sea of Galilee, that God would visit him and save his soul. I believe he was just tore up by that, by the way he writes, by the way he refers in the Scriptures. So much he was in amazement of that love that the Lord had for him. But here, the Apostle Paul, he speaks in chapter 3, here in verse number 18. Let's take a look here. Verse 17, Philippians 3, 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. There's fruit to be inspected. It is so. Verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping. See, that conveys the attitude. There are those that are against the Word of God, the truth of the Lord, and what the His church stands for and stands in. Many walk, not few, many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. That it's the case. I believe he weeps for them that they are deluded and going away. He grieves for them at this condemnation that even as the children of God they bring upon themselves because of disobedience. And he doesn't want it to be that way for them, but yet he's got to stand in what God says. He says, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Is he speaking out of both sides of his mouth? No, it's an understanding that if we don't follow truth, we won't have blessing. If we don't follow the Lord, if we don't serve the Lord, where else is the place of blessing? Where is there a promise that can be fulfilled that'll reach out to eternity? Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. We're going to stand before the Lord as His children in judgment. And if we have built with gold and silver and precious stones, there'll be a reward. If we build with wood, hay, and stubble, the Scripture tells us we will suffer loss. Tell the folks there at Olmsted, my greatest desire for you, each and every one of you, us together, is that when you stand before the Lord, you hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't we want that for each other?
Amen.
We do. That's the desire. And so, even though there's a stand that offends the world in saying that they're the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, verse 19, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things, we might be derided for a position such as that, but we're misunderstood that our desire is for good for them. That's our desire. That's our desire. That's what we want. But nevertheless, we need to stand. In Corinthians, the apostle speaks about how it is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe. Let's take a look over here. And the reason that we mention this is that to understand that there's no new thing that has come to us that others before us in the Lord's church have not experienced. There's not anything that has come to us that the Lord did not tell even His first church that would happen. And so we need to, in knowing that the Lord has told us in advance these things. He says, as he told his disciples there before he was crucified, I tell you ahead of time, so when it comes to pass, you not be offended, but you know that I am in control. What other one can say, even if I'm dead, I'm in control? None other but our Savior, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the apostle here is speaking about how it is in his service. In verse number 4, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in strifes, imprisonments, and tumults, and labors, and watchings, and fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, love not faked, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor. Of the world. We should not have this run down, beat down, complex an attitude about it, but a soberness understanding that will be, and the Lord has told us such, which should give us confidence, and may it give us confidence to stay with the stuff. Amen. To stay with it because the Lord has given it to us. Listen. By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers, yet true. The sinner that needs salvation, in telling them that the Scripture says and the Lord says that they are sinners, that they are in need of salvation, that they need the rescue that can only come from Jesus Christ through what He has done, from what He has paid, and from how He calls. But if they reject it, they'll spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire forever. That has an offense to it. But what is it that we desire? Their rescue. Amen? Their rescue. But it takes the truth of the Word of God that needs to be told to them, and the Lord will enlighten them and enlighten them to the seriousness of the situation. Yes, the Lord does love. What greater love can one show than He give His life? But those that reject His way of salvation will spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire forever, as He has ordered it. So we see here in verse 8, we will be misunderstood, but yet we should continue on as deceivers yet true. Verse 9, as unknown and yet well known. The world knows nothing about us, nor gives them much of a lick that we're even meeting here today. But yet, and gone, and some from a fair distance, as known and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live. How has that worked in those people? As chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet as poor, yet making many rich. And in the faith that we've been given in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's nothing greater, is there? Yet making many rich and having nothing and all misunderstood, and we need to know that Lord, but yet His calling to us is true and solid. So go back here in 1 John chapter 2. We grieve for them if our hearts are right before the Lord and our desire is right. It would never be to run anybody down or to hurt anyone per se for the sake of malice or such like that. But we have a desire towards the lost. We have a desire towards the wayward that they be restored. And that begs the question, or the question that comes from that is that the world says, and those that are disobedient and those that are wayward say, what makes you right? How do you say that you have the truth? See, because that's what happens, is that it's deflected or it's not seen that it comes from the Lord, but it swung over here to the Lord's people and the Lord's church, and what makes you right. Well, it's because of what God has done. It's not in us. We have no power. We have no understanding in and of ourselves. But it's of the Lord. And look here what the Lord says. Again, in the context of the church, we want to take a look at this. Verse 20. 1 John 2, verse 20. But ye have an unction. You have an unction. You have an unction. You have an anointing. You have a calling. What was it that the Lord said in John? Turn over here in John chapter 14, I believe it is. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. The Lord made promises to His churches, didn't He? He made promises to His churches. He did. He says, in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 26, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. It's the Lord working in His church. And a promise from the Savior of the Spirit of God and this blessing upon the church as comforter to come to us. And we go on and take a look over here in chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse number 8. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. How will... verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and I will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me. Well, how is it that the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, is going to speak? Through you and me that He saved and put in His church. The audible voice to the world. It's through this institution that God in His greatness and His wisdom has made, that He brings a diversity of people from all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of nationalities in some places in the world, and saves us, brings us together, and we have a kinship because of Christ, because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can take and pursue Him. And we can understand His Word and what it says and how it applies and be blessed by Him in it. And so in chapter 20 of John, the book of John, chapter 20, it's here somewhere. When the Lord comes after His resurrection and He appears to His church and He says in chapter 20, verse number 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, and my Father, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Go forth, be the mouthpiece, be the means, be this unprecedented manifestation of my power in the world that the world will have not a clue to understand. Go forth and do it. Verse 22, and when He had said this, He breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And gave them responsibility there afterwards, which we're not going to take any time to look at. Back in 1 John chapter 2. So He's given us this unction, and it's from Him, so that as long as we pray to the Lord and take His Word, And interpret His Word, let Scripture interpret Scripture, and pursue and pray that God will reveal the truth unto us in His church. He's made a promise that He'll do it. And He's given this supernatural power that's here in His church. Well, Brother Jim, that's taking a lot of... since you're a pastor of this church that you claim is that the Lord's, well, what about the Methodist church down the road? What about the Presbyterian church down the road? What about this and that and the other? And God did not make a promise to them, but He made a promise here. Will that offend? Yes, it will offend some. But is there anything else than that is the truth? There's nothing else. And so we stand in it, desiring that folks see, desiring that folks be saved, desiring that folks be helped, desiring that folks be saved and be added to His church, that they might serve the Lord together with us in this calling. And yet, at many times, it is misunderstood. And here in 1 John chapter 2, ye have an unction, verse 20, from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I didn't say that. The Lord said that. The Lord said that. And so the reason that we need to see this is that it's not a thing of becoming proud. And we've all seen folks that have become proud and having doctrine revealed to them. It's not a thing of pride. I got nothing. I received nothing that I was not taught. It's just the way that it works. But oh, when we were taught, when the Lord revealed it to us, when He showed it to us, oh, what a blessing and a light and illumination it is, isn't it? And we should then take that to help others, that they may learn and to teach as He gave this challenge and this admonition in verses 12, 13, and 14 to mature. And so over here in verse 21, I've not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Verse 22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. It's a package deal. It's God Almighty's work, God Almighty's design. And it's God Almighty's command, message, way, and word. Amen. That we receive to take and use and serve. That's what it is. It's because it's of Him. And we always point to the Lord. But you reject the Lord. You reject Him. You reject His church. You reject the doctrine that He has, that the church stands in and proclaims as we seek to do that third part of the command of the Great Commission, to teach them all things, teach them to observe all things. And the folks go away. Those that are again have this against it or have this spirit of Antichrist. Verse 24. Let that, what that? The truth, this unction. There, let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. What was the challenge that the Lord gave those that believed on Him in John chapter 8? Many believed on Him. And He says, what's He say? He says, My word will tell you the truth. And if you keep My word, the truth will be manifested in you. Then are you My disciples indeed. But no pursuit of the truth, no desire and conviction of the Word, not a disciple. It's just the way that it is. God said it. Take it up with Him. And we will continue in the Son. Verse 25, and this is the promise that He has promised us, even eternal life. Remember it, child. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, because it's happening. It's happening now. Well, that church down there, they think that they're the only church in the county that's right. I don't have to worry about thinking that that we're the only church in the county that's right. All we got to do is do what's right here. You see what I'm saying? I don't have to reckon about that. But we need to take the Word of God, take it, see what it says, and stand in it. Stand in it and pursue it. Do what the Lord has called us to do. Yes. Verse 25, that He has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But here it is, the anointing which ye have received of Him, church, child of God, this anointing in the Lord's service and being united, being called of the Lord to join His church and placed there, put there, builded by Him there, fitly jointed, right, if you will, as the Scripture says. He says, you've got it. You've got an unction from the Spirit of Almighty God to understand the truth that there is in the Scripture as it applies to all things. That's a bold statement, isn't it? But isn't that what God said? That's what He said. Because, see, being saved, you can glean and understand from the Word of God those things that apply to the saved. But not in the Lord's church. You won't get it. You won't get it like you can get it when you've been added to the Lord's church by Him. Amen? It's just the way that it is. Because why? Because it's the design. Can a couple experience the blessing of marriage and the family by shacking up, having a slew of kids, and never being married in holy matrimony, as we refer to it? Why is it holy? Because it's ordained of God. But if they will take God at His word, go about the pursuit of their marriage in God's way, and then be joined together in holy matrimony, and then have the kids, and put God first in it all, they can experience the blessing that God has in marriage, whether saved or not. Amen? Now, there's a dimension there that won't be understood till they are saved, but everything else they can, because it's God's design. Well, the child of God that's been saved, been added to the family of God, redeemed by the Lord, they can experience and be blessed by those things in salvation, but those things pertaining to the church, it will not be understood as it will be being in the church. Why? Because of this unction. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, verse 27, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. A call of God to salvation. A call of God to His church. As it says in Acts, who added to the church? The Lord added to His church such as daily should be saved. Right? That's what it's God's work. It's God's plan. It's God's purpose and order. Verse 28. And now, little children, live in Him. Abide in Him. That word abide, when I hear that word abide, We abide in our homes, don't we? Our houses, in our dwelling. And it's more than just the sticks and the mortar and the brick. But there is, we've made mention here about when you're on the road and you're traveling, you got another bed to sleep in, you don't sleep as good, it makes you yawn and you're tired. But there's no place like where that bed at home is, right? Because that's home. And the Lord says, and we abide there, we're comfortable there, we always look forward to get back home, because it's home. Well, the Lord and His church, it's home, isn't it? It's home. Abide in Him. Dwell in Him. And that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him as His coming. There's two things that can be. I've asked the folks there, and when I've preached, and I said, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, will it be hallelujah, praise God, here's the Savior, come back, Lord, I'm happy to see you, I'm ready to go with you? Or will it be, uh-oh, I didn't know He's going to come back this soon. I didn't know He's going to come back. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I wish I wouldn't be in the place where I am, or I wish I would have been where I should have been. How will it be? How will it be? If we serve the Lord, we hear this anointing, we hear this unction that we have, and we abide in the truth, and we seek the Lord's will and the Lord's word and what He says to us, and grab a hold of it, take it, hear it, believe it, and live it, we'll have confidence when He comes. Confidence. We'll have rest and assurance. We'll have this abiding in Him that will be an ease and a peace. And we'll not be ashamed before Him when He comes. We let it fall. We let His word slip. We let His word, or we counted it as not much. Verse 29, if ye know that He is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Right? Seek that kingdom. Preach to sinners that they be saved and added to the kingdom. Amen. Preach to sinners that they be saved and added to the kingdom. Pursue and find that kingdom yourself. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything that He says and the way that He wants us to live, to preach, to practice, to witness, obey. And what is it all about? Is it not the universal thing, and in all things really pertaining to the Lord, is it not submission? Submission. We submit to the truth and Word of God. Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I'm guilty. Yes, I need a payment for sin that I cannot begin to touch. Yes, because of the Lord, I see Jesus lifted up for me. And yes, He suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again that I might have life.
Amen.
And then, yes, He said, when I save you, when I touch you, when I visit you, be baptized so you will identify with the world that you need what I've done for you. That's what it is. We identify with Christ. Yes, I needed Him for me. Yes, I needed Him to die for me. Yes, I needed Him to be buried for me. Yes, I needed Him to raise from the dead for me.
Amen.
I need Jesus and everything about Him. Because without it, without Him, I have nothing. I have nothing. And then He says, by virtue of baptism, because it's administered by one of my churches, one of my kind of New Testament Baptist churches, you become a member of such, placed in that body to serve me, to keep that commission. To tell it, to baptize others that come, and then to all those things. We've got a calling from the Lord. We've got an unction. We've got an anointing from the Lord to do it. And we can know the truth. The world says, how do you know? Because I've got a promise from God that He's going to do it in the likes of me. Yeah, see, it's not about me. The world marvels that it would be such in us. But He doesn't. Chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, take a look at this, saints. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the servants of God. the close acquaintance of God. Those that the Lord does business with. My Bible said sons. Made a son of God. Therefore the world, what? Knoweth us not because it knew Him not. That's the reason that it's misunderstood. Oh, who wants to go out and make enemies of people? I have no desire to do such. I know that you have no desire to do such. We know that we've met folks that seems like that's all they want to do is make an enemy, and folks have that. No one wants to do such. But the thing is stand in the truth of the Word of God, there will be those that will not receive it. Therefore, what should it cause us to do when that happens? Who is the only one that can change hearts? The Lord.
Amen.
So then we be available, we be a witness, and we pray God will touch their soul. Child of God that's been a member of the church and wayward, sinner that rejects the gospel and the Word of God and salvation, whatever the case may be, pray that God would intervene and touch their soul and bring them to... And then be ready. Be ready having the Word of God in you. So when that time comes, when that opportunity presents itself that you can speak, be ready to speak to them. Who knows that through your witness, through my witness, the Lord would give the Word that would touch them and they would be saved or they would be brought back and that. Be ready. Don't give up on the Lord. And see, that's really the point, see, is that The Lord has called us in salvation. He's called us in His church. He's called us to service. He's given this promise in the church of this unction, this anointing, the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter, that'll teach us, lead us, show us the truth, that we might be able to tell it again, that we might be God's mouthpiece, that we might be God's light and salt on this earth. And we need to tell it and be representative of it and not give up on it. Because if we give up on it, we don't give up on one another. There is a sense that's true, but what happens is we give up on God. Because He's the one that's made the promises. Behold, what manner of Father hath bestowed upon us, that we are sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. We don't have to wait for a time for it to be reckoned. Now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We know this. We don't know how it's all going to be when the Lord comes back, but I know it's going to be good. It's going to be blessed. Blessing, it does not appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, for we are as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him, that hope of seeing Jesus, that hope of assurance and confidence in His Word and the promises that He's made, that He takes and works in those members in His church, that unction, that anointing, that calling that we've been given, that confidence that we have, that we can serve Him in that we can not back up on it, but exhibit the fruit of the Spirit as we do it and pursue it, that sinners be saved, and that the wayward be brought back, and that the saints be edified and built up. We have confidence in the Lord till He comes back. Till He comes back. And what will it cause us to do? Desire to pursue, to become more pure, like He is pure. So that's a pretty haughty and heady idea of that you want to be better and better. It's the calling of our Lord to be more like Christ, to be more like Him, to not just accept the status quo, but to be, pursue, and desire to be more like Him, to stand in His truth and be a witness to this world. An unction. How is it that we can know that we have the truth when the world and those that are waiting for us, well, you believe you know everything, and what about these others? Well, we have a promise from God. That's the only answer I know. We have a promise from God, and what we desire for you is that you experience this promise also. Brother Wayne, thank you. Amen.